Blog Talk Radio.
Class, and we are still in salvation, the Holy Spirit, dealing with this topic. I want to say on last week, about this time, I was in South Carolina and I was having difficulties breathing, and I'm still having difficulties breathing. But Yah Elohim is good and greatly to be praised. I've said many times before that I ought not be here. And even on today, I would say that based upon my experience that I had last week, I really did believe that I wasn't going to be here. It was just that bad. And you know, I don't believe that I have been quite that close to death in a long time, but never this close. Because I really believe that, you know, I was only minutes away from, you know, not being here anymore, if even that long. Nevertheless, our Father is good, and he's greatly to be praised, and I'm so happy that he has allowed me to still be here and to continue in the work. I have to modify some things, not the mission, but for a little bit, I have to slow my roll so that, you know, I can allow my body to heal and to allow the Most High to do the work. I'm counting on him for a complete healing, not a restoration to what I was before, but a complete healing so that I will be stronger than I was before, able to do the things that, you know, I had counted on. I had said in age, you know, you lose some strength, you lose some things, that the Father would restore these things to me. And all in all, at them looking at my heart and, you know, what I was going through, they didn't find any, you know, clogged arteries. Didn't find any anything that, besides it beating faster than normal, they couldn't find out what was actually going on. So they know of some ways to slow it, to slow, you know, that part of the heart down so that it can come back into the same number of beats as the rest of the heart. And I know that there's some natural cures for this as well. Nevertheless, you know, we want to be obedient. I knew I had some things going on. You know, I talked about how I needed to do better health-wise, and this just brought it to the forefront. One thing I can say, what it was not part of the judgment. I was in a hospital full of people with COVID, and when I first came in, you know, that's the first thing they suspected. Oh, you got COVID-19, and you know, I'm in my heart saying, I, you know, no, that's not true. And they tested me the first time and found, they said, oh, you're negative. I said, I know that I'm negative. And so because of what, you know, my heart was doing, what my breathing was doing, they were still trying to think that it was COVID, because a lot of people come in with COVID, can't breathe. And so they did the second test, and it came back negative. And, you know, I was just telling, hey, I know it's going to be negative because the Most High said that this is judgment, and I'm not up under this judgment. So whatever this is that's going on, it's related to other things. Nevertheless, I am still kind of weak. Because when your body's not getting enough oxygen, you don't generate energy either. And, you know, so it's a wake-up call, and it's a challenge to me myself. So I ask the saints to pray for me, you know, agree with me for full healing from the Most High, that I might be able to do that which he has called me to do and lead that which he has called me to lead and to participate in it with my full strength. That I might be able to put my hands to the plow, so to speak, to make these things happen. One of the things that it did give to me, though, as I was laying there in the hospital, was the sense of urgency, because just as suddenly as that came upon me, Most I was putting it in my spirit that the next judgment will come suddenly like that as well, and that people won't get a warning. And it will just be, you know, whatever it is just going to come, and, you know, that we need to really be moving and doing what the Most High wants us to do, a sense of urgency about it. You know, another thing is, you know, we always say it, and I've always teach it, but tomorrow's not promised to anyone. And so it could have been just as easily the Most High's will that was the end of it for me. And, you know, whatever people would think and say, they would think and say. But, you know, truth of the matter is, his will was not that I should die, but I need to address these things, because if I'm out in the wilderness and my heart is unhealthy, anything happen, I'm in trouble. If he doesn't provide full healing. If I'm, you know, out working and digging posts or trying to bury some things that, you know, I know have to be in place. If I'm not healthy bodily wise, then there could be some problems. So, you know, I'm thanking him for identifying these things and making me actually address them. I'm praying for him for his healing. I will go along, you know, everything that I've heard from the doctors is this is healable. You know, they found some things like a blood clot in my lungs, a blood clot in my heart. Those things are healable and able to be done away with. Even with, you know, the diabetes, the way that my body has treated it, you know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, then it will heal. And so, you know, I just have to be faithful to that and to that end. So just ask everybody to agree and watch the Most High do what he's going to do. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 10, and we're looking at the works of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the works of the Holy Spirit. Let me do our statement of faith. First, let me find our statement of faith. Give me one second here. And Shalom, Shalom, Sister Mary. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, brother, I am. Shalom. I'm glad to hear you.
Amen. Likewise, my sister, likewise. Okay, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, glory to your name. We lift you up and we magnify you today, Father. And we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise, for truly you are worthy. You are worthy, you are worthy. You are Elohim all by yourself. Father, we will worship none Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings. Hallelujah. Now, the ladies have covered their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to eat from your word, Father. Father, you have said that salvation is of the Jew first and then to the Gentiles, but you have given it to the world, and that we would be the ones who carry this gospel to the world. Father, we just come to learn about your salvation and about your being born of the water and of the Spirit. Father, we ask that you would be in this lesson. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And let us go to, I think it's 1 Timothy. Just a second here. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May the Most High bless you to read the hearing, the understanding of his word, and you show HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. We're looking at the works of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Ruach HaKodesh. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 10, where we left off at on the last time we studied. We're going to get verses 45 and 46. Acts chapter 10, verses 45 through 46. And they of the circumcision which were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, did any man forbid water? Or can any man forbid water? So in Acts chapter 10, verses 45 through 46, we see the Holy Spirit, number one, the people are filled by the Holy Ghost. But another act, as soon as they are filled, they heard them speak with tongues. Okay, this is a work of the Ruach. No one should be speaking in tongues without the Ruach. If they are speaking in tongues without the Ruach, without the Holy Spirit, then they are really having a mimicking spirit, because we're supposed to speak in tongues by this Spirit. Okay, so one of the acts is to cause you to speak in tongues. Go to the book of Acts chapter 19. The book of Acts chapter 19, we're just going to get verse 6. The works of the Holy Spirit. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So another work of the Ruach is to cause you to prophesy, to speak on behalf of the Most High. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to get verses 2 through 4. We might as well start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. starting in verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, we know that the scriptures tell us that we want spiritual gifts, but it's always better that you prophesy to edify someone. You know, if you're speaking in an unknown tongue and you don't have the gift of interpretation, then what is your unknown tongue to that person that don't understand what you're saying? But to the individual that has the gift of prophecy, then they're going to speak in such a way that everybody can understand. So he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Okay, now we saw that the works before, people spoke in tongues, that was a work of the Holy Spirit. We saw that the Holy Spirit caused people to prophesy. Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when we're speaking of the Spirit and the works of the Spirit, that you want to, the spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit. I hear people talk about spiritual gifts all the time, but have no evidence of ever being filled by the Holy Spirit. So then they are taking the attributes of those gifts and they're trying to apply them to themselves. You know, I have so much love, so much charity, so much mercy. But you want it from the standpoint that the Spirit gives it. Because then it's not going to be about you. It's going to be about what the Most High wants. So, seek for those spiritual gifts. Desire them. But rather that you may prophesy. Because when you prophesy, you're going to be edifying someone. You're going to be giving them, knowledge that they can stand on, that they can live on. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, I want us to get this, speaks not unto men, but unto Elohim. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now this is one of the areas that, you know, we as a people, as the teachers, as the ones with the gospel, as the elect, we have to understand how this operates. Everybody don't have the gift of tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the gift of tongues. And people don't understand that. So when the Ruach HaKodesh fills you, you begin to speak in another language, but that may not be your gift. It is a language that the Ruach has given you to communicate with him. And so you're speaking in this unknown tongue and you're speaking unto Elohim. And no man understands what you say. So the one who's being edified is who? You. But we are to be in service to the body. So he says, but rather that you may prophesy. So yeah, you want to speak in tongues. Trust me, you do. And you want to be able to go before the Most High. And if you need that A and B conversation because you got something vexing you in your spirit, you need an answer, you need, you know, something fixed, you can have that A and B conversation with the Most High. No man's going to understand what you're saying. Howbeit, in the spirit, you speak mysteries. That's an A and B conversation between you and the Most High Elohim. But that's not the gift of tongues, okay? But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to what? Edification, education, exhortation, encouragement, and comfort. So we would rather prophesy because we want to bring men to the Most High. We want to bring them in a way that they would worship the Most High, that they understand this gospel. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So Paul is saying, hey, seek after these spiritual gifts, but rather that you could what? Prophesy. Rather that you can edify somebody, that you can exhort them, that you can comfort them. But you still need to have your evidence that Yah has filled you. That's what that sign was, that tongue in the beginning. That is not, it is not a gift. It is actually the Most High filling you and giving you utterance as it pleases Him. And see, people want to take that and mix it with the gift. They are not the same thing. Okay. Let's drop down to verse 13 and verse 14. Well, no, let's go to verse 5. I want us to hear what Paul is saying because, you know, like I said, I got too many people that try to come against this. What does Paul say in verse 5? I would that you all speak with tongues. I hope that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. He didn't say, I wish that none of y'all spoke with tongues and that you all prophesied. He said, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. But rather that you prophesy, because why, he already told you why. When you speak with tongues, if it's not the gift of tongues, then you're edifying, you're having that conversation between you and Elohim, the sign that Elohim has chosen you, and you're able to have that conversation with him. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues. Here's a caveat, except he that speaks with tongues interprets, that the church may be receive edifying. Remember, he told us up in verse 2 that when you spoke in tongues, it was your, that conversation was between you and the Most High. No man understood it. Only person being edified is you. But when we prophesy, unless you get the gift of interpretation, which comes along with the gift of tongues, then you can't edify anybody because you don't even know what you're saying. In your mind, in your heart, you might be saying, Yah Elohim, help me. I need your help. But that's not what's coming out of your mouth. And you don't even understand what's coming out of your mouth. Unless Yah gives you the gift of tongues and with interpretation. Okay. So this is from the Ruach HaKodesh, the works of the Ruach. The Ruach is the one that causes you to speak in tongues, gives you utterance as it pleases him. The Ruach is the one that also gives you the gifts of the Spirit that will give you the gift of prophecy, that will give you the gift of interpretation, the gift of discernment. And so we want to make sure that we have an understanding that we should all speak in tongues. We may not all get the gift of tongues, which is a ministerial gift. It means that you can understand other languages and you can interpret them. You can speak them through the Spirit. But when you are simply filled by the Ruach and given utterance as the Spirit, as pleases the Spirit, that's a completely different thing. So we have to understand that. Now, we're not going to go into any depth into this because it's been taught on different occasions, many different occasions. I just want us to understand that, let's go down to here. I'm going to go down. This is what we cannot do. Hold on just a minute. Let's drop down to verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. You got to understand that when the Ruach fills you, that utterance coming out of your mouth is that conversation between the Ruach and you. And he's speaking with your spirit, and you may not even understand what actually is going on. So don't forbid it. Don't speak against it. But know that there's a more perfect gift. That's to prophesy, to edify the whole church. Okay? So we should be looking for people when they get baptized in the water, even before, but that they should speak in tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. When people start speaking in tongues on command, I start looking at them strange. On command, speak in tongues. Am I ordering the Ruach, telling him that he's got to give you utterance? That would be kind of bold and blasphemous. But there are people who do this. Understand that this should be done as the Spirit gives you utterance. So let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And we get verses 1 through 4. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, different tongues, like as a fire, as it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost of the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as they wanted to themselves. This is as the Holy Spirit begins to speak through you, using your mouth. And you may not know what's being said. But in this case, he caused them to speak a language of all the men that were there on Pentecost on that day, from all these different nations. Each one of them heard these men speaking in their own tongue wherein they were born. Even though they were Hebrew Israelites, they were born in other nations. They weren't all born in Israel. Some of them were born in Egypt. They learned the Egyptian language. Some of them were born in Mesopotamia. They learned the Persian language. Some of them were born in Rome. They learned the Roman language. And when they heard these men speaking, they heard them speaking their own language. It was different. Let's read this. Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised or heard abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. Now who are devout men out of every nation under heaven? You're German. I'm South American. You're hearing German, and what I'm hearing is South America. And we understand it. We can interpret it. And so this is a little bit different. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How these Galileans speaking these languages that wherein we were born? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Okay. So it's a different miracle here. You got tongues being spoken. You got people speaking as the Spirit of the Most High. The Holy Ghost gives them utterance. But it's the same way even when we are filled. The first time we speak as the Spirit gives us utterance. If he gives us the gift of tongues, then we will typically be able to speak another language, and we know what we're saying in that language, and we can interpret. But if we get up and, you know, we say that the Spirit gave us a message for the church, and we start speaking in tongues, and we don't have the gift of interpretation, then we're supposed to sit down. Because what you're saying, can't nobody understand. What's your message? You don't have to, you know, so they have to ask. And the Spirit will put it on their heart. Is there an interpreter in the house? Or somebody will just jump up and start interpreting. As the Spirit gives them utterance to interpret. But if there be no interpreter, they have to sit down. You know, you've got a zeal about yourself, but you're out of order. You're out of order. So these things, we must make sure that people understand that we don't run them away from it, because being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh is the highest privilege, honor you can have. And it's not something that any of us, no single one of us should take for granted that, oh, I know I got it. And we haven't had any of these signs. We don't have any of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, anybody can be kind. Anybody can be loving. Anybody can be merciful. Anybody can be long-suffering. A person can learn to do those things. But when it's a gift to you, you are endowed in that area, that you are long-suffering beyond what people think is possible or that you should be. People just can't believe it. It's a different level because it's not coming from that person. There is more than they can actually bear, but they're bearing it on behalf of the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because this is another work that the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, does in a person. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's get verse 16. Actually, let's get starting verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which Elohim has prepared for them that love him. But Elohim has revealed to them. But Elohim has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. There's nobody that should be teaching this word who is not filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Because it is his word. He's the interpreter. He's the author and the finisher. The interpreter of his own word. He tells you what line goes upon what line and what precept goes upon what precept. And men try to do these things out of their own carnality, and they'll come to a certain level of truth, but not the truth. They'll come to a certain level of lot. Let me just say it this way. They'll come to a certain level of knowledge, but not the truth. So when it says no scripture is of private interpretation, that you need the author and the finisher of the scriptures to give you the interpretation, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Most High himself. So he says he reveals it to us by his spirit. All of a sudden, you're reading in the scriptures and these verses start to make sense in a whole different way than they did to you before. Because he's revealing it to you, how? By his spirit. Now, if we don't have his spirit, then he can't reveal anything to us. He won't reveal anything to us, except for, well, I won't say he can't or won't. He typically does not in relationship to his word. So it's by his spirit that he reveals. Now, when I hear brothers and sisters speak about if they can't read it, they can't believe it. And I say, so the Most High cannot come to you personally and reveal anything to you that is not in this word. He can't show you something that is not written for your own edification. Because if you can't read it, then you can't accept it. But it's called revelation knowledge. Knowledge that the Most High reveals that he has not written. And he reveals it to his prophets. He reveals it to the kings. He'll reveal it to his saints now. And you ain't going to find it written. Or he can set the scriptures up in such a way that now, rather than you interpreting this verse this way in this order, you put this verse before it and it gives it a whole different meaning. Because the scriptures are not written in order. Anybody that thinks that they can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and feel like they have a complete understanding of the scriptures is deceiving themselves. That's why he says, here a little, there a little. It ain't all in order. And who has to put it in order for you? Is the author of the book, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit himself, the Father. He has to put it in order for you. This one goes before this one. This one goes after that one. These two don't even apply. Not to this precept here. He has to do that for you. And so, you know, it's by his spirit that he does it. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Elohim. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so the things of Elohim knoweth no man, but the spirit of Elohim. So the only way you're going to be able to really know the deep things of the Most High is he has to reveal it by his spirit to you. And he only reveals it to those people who have his spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Elohim, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Elohim, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdoms teach. See, I know a lot of things that I teach. A lot of brothers don't really get it. They don't get it. And I know, and I'm okay with that. Because the bottom line is, the wisdom didn't come by the wisdom of this world. The knowledge didn't come by the wisdom of this world. I didn't just read the scriptures and say, oh, I think this means this, and I think that means that. And let me go look up this word. And let me get a definition for this word, and let me put it all together. This is what those verses are saying. No, it even takes more than that. You'll come to a certain level of knowledge doing that. And starting off with seeking Elohim and doing that is not a bad thing. But what you really need, you need the wisdom of the Ruach HaKodesh. You need the Ruach HaKodesh to teach you. So verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost, or Ruach HaKodesh, teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you are carnally minded and you have never been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then you are carnal and you are not spiritual. And you cannot compare spiritual things with spiritual because you need the Ruach to do that. You can compare things, but you will compare them from a carnal mind. That's why people who can't believe that Mary conceived a child immaculately without a man, in their carnal mind, you need a man to make a baby with a woman. They can't move beyond that. They can't understand that, you know, the Most High is a spiritual being, and the spirit that he put within that child was his own spirit. And that he is the Most High. So if you believe what he says, that he created the heavens and the earth, that he spoke them into existence, then why couldn't he speak this child into existence in this woman's womb? But they can't get beyond the carnality of it. And it's many such things in the scriptures. So they can't compare spiritual things with spiritual things. They take something that's spiritual and they can only see it through carnal eyes. But the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You say that to some people and they get mad. They get mad. If you are trying to explain something to them in the scriptures and you bring them here and you quote this verse for them, then you just attack. You trying to say I don't have a spirit? I'm not saying anything to you. I'm saying to you simply this. If you cannot understand this from a spiritual standpoint, then you are yet carnal-minded. Period. I don't have to argue and fight with you over this. It's not my job to make you see it. That's the job of the Ruach. And if he has chosen to blind you, I can't make you see. And it took me a long time to understand that myself. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of Yah, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So it's imperative that we transform. It's imperative that we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Because he told you that, hey, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Why is he judged of no man? Because he should be judging by the Spirit of the Most High. So the work of the Spirit is to reveal things to us, set line upon line, precept upon precept, to give us utterance as he desires. To intercede on our behalf when we don't know what to ask for. I'm telling you, I didn't know what to ask for when I was on that floor, couldn't breathe, but the Spirit of Elohim knew what to ask for. So, let's go to the book of Romans. Well, no, let's get verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of Yah, that he may instruct him? but we have the mind of Christ. The Ruach gives us the mind of Christ. How do you say that? To which Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The mind of Christ is the Spirit of the Most High. His thoughts, his ways. Do you think that the Ruach HaKodesh would actually tell you to do something different than what he told Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach? No, it's the same mind, one spirit. So it's not going to give you a separate instruction over here to you that don't line up with Messiah. It's the same mind. So all you got to do is listen long enough to someone. And if they say that they have Christ, then they cannot contradict anything that Christ said. Because it's the same mind. When you get the Ruach HaKodesh, you get the same mind. So we have to know that. He's not going to have a different mind for you, a different mind for me, a different mind for whoever, different from Christ. Different from Mashiach. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, Mashiach, the Ruach HaKodesh, that mind. Okay. The book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Still looking at the works of the Ruach, of the Holy Spirit. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Starting in verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. See, it is the Spirit of the Most High that causes us to stop fornicating. That causes us to stop committing adultery. That stops us from trying to satisfy every ill desire of the flesh. We just have to let him have his way, take over. So with that understanding, the work of the Spirit is to mortify your body. Mortify the deeds of the body, that you don't live to just please this body, that you live to please the Spirit of the Most High. So again, I say to people, I don't really care what you say. I care what you do. If you're saying that you're filled with the Spirit of the Most High and you are struggling with a lot of things, over and over and over again, then this verse right here tells you that you have not, you are giving the body more power than you're giving to the Most High. If you are filled with the Most High, he's not going to violently take you over. He's not going to violently make you do something unless he chose you for that purpose. So if you live after the flesh, you shall die. I don't care if you got the Ruach HaKodesh. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So it is by the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. Which one are you going to obey? You going to obey the flesh, or are you going to obey the Spirit of the Most High within you? Again, that's why I say it's important that we have the Spirit of the Most High. Then he can mortify the deeds of the flesh, of the body. But if he don't dwell there, why should that ever happen? The Most High is not dwelling in that flesh, in that body. Why should they ever change their nature? They're going to be reading the word of the Most High and being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of the Most High. Know the word of the Most High, but love pleasure more than they love him, because his spirit's not in them. And they find themselves going through the same things over and over and over again until they just believe that, they have to believe that, you know, I'm saved. But when you look at their life, you're like, why are you still struggling in that area and in that area? How long you been in this word? And there's no growth. There's no conversion. So it starts to tell on themselves. I am not the same person that the Most High filled some over 20 years ago. Actually, longer than that. 25, 30 years ago. There is a growth process. And you have to give the Most High leeway to do it in your life. So we need this conversion. We need to have the spirit so that he can mortify the deeds of the body. Yeah, I know, let me take that desire away from you. Let me make you love me more than you love that. Let me help you out. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, we have the liberty for the first time when you get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the first time in your life that you have liberty not to sin. You have to make a conscious decision to sin. Before, it was just your natural nature. It's all you knew. Just the way it is. I was taught that the birds and the bees, and this is what happens. And so my spirit and my body sought after that. It's all I knew. But then Yah came and he delivered me. He gave me liberty. He says, now, you know right from wrong. I'm giving you the strength to choose right from wrong. You have liberty to not to choose wrong. Before, that's all you knew. Now you have liberty to choose to do right. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So the Spirit comes and gives us liberty not to sin. Changes us from that old carnal man, that's all we knew. And even if we knew it was wrong, it didn't feel right, somehow we just ended up doing it anyway. Going along with the program, doing whatever. But when we get filled with the Ruach, then now we have liberty. I don't have to sin. I have to choose to sin. The choice now, whereas before we had not a choice. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And I want us to underline that. Fruit of the Spirit. You got people that don't even believe in being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. We'll still use this verse saying that I got the fruit of the Spirit. Wait a minute. You don't even believe being filled with the Holy Ghost. So where did you get the fruit from? So they want to look at themselves and say, oh, I'm a loving person. I bring people joy and peace. I'm long-suffering. I'm gentle. I got a lot of goodness. and faith and meekness in me, temperance. I started looking at these definitions of these words and trying to define themselves by it. But these are actually gifts from where? The Holy Spirit. And it's on a different level because it's spiritually discerned. Against such there is no law. Most I says, I'm not going to tell you how much love to have. I'm not going to tell you how much joy to have. I'm not going to tell you how much peace to have. Well, let me go back and say it. How much love to have and to give. I'm not going to tell you how much joy to have and to give. I'm not going to tell you how much peace to have and to give. I'm not going to tell you how much long suffering to have and to give. I'm not going to tell you how gentle to be with others or have others to be to you. I'm not going to tell you how good to be. I'm not going to put a limit on that. I'm not going to tell you how much faith. I'm not going to put a limit on that. Or how meek and humble. Or how tempered. Meaning that, you know what, you can do things in such a way that you don't have to be all hog wild about it. All zealous about it. And you can do it in little pieces to bring about the desired result. He says, I'm not going to tell you how much of that to have. Against such, there is no law. The law brings limits. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. A life for a life. The law brings limits. But he says, there is no limit. There is no law telling you how much of these things to have. It's as the Spirit gives it to you. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Verse 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, there's a high that when you are filled with the Ruach, there's no type of high like this. Trust me, I've done weed and alcohol and heroin and a few other things in my youth. I can't even remember. I know I've done them, but I can't even remember what they were. There is no high like the Most High. There's no high like he gives you. That's why he says, hey, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yah. There is a peace and a serenity and a, you know, what a lot of people, when they get high, they try to escape, you know, this reality or this certain feeling, the way their body is hurting or these thoughts. It causes my mind not to race, slows me down, mellow me out. All these things that, trust me, can none of those things do for you what the Ruach HaKodesh can do for you. They're not even designed to do what you're trying to do. You just learn to settle for that. But the truth of the matter is, you get high in the Most High. Get high off of His Spirit. It is completely different. It's just so fulfilling and satisfying. And you don't have a hangover. You don't feel guilty. It's just completely different. Titus chapter 3. The book of Titus chapter 3. We'll get verse 5. You see, we might think that it's the works that we're doing that count. Titus chapter 3. And starting in verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. See, you could have fed all the homeless people you wanted. You could have taken care of every widow out there. You could have taken care of every fatherless child, every home, you know, orphan. You could have fed everybody that was hungry, and you could have put clothes everybody that was naked. It's not by your works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Without this, the righteousness is nothing. I don't care how much of whatever you did. You might look at it and say, oh yeah, that was good, but you didn't really accept me. You did those things that you might look good, that you might feel good, that you might be puffed up before men. But you didn't do it because of me. And you don't even keep my commandments. You're doing all that stuff, but you break the Sabbath. You do all that stuff, but you got a pic, you got a statue of Buddha in your bedroom. You're doing all that stuff, but you don't honor your mother and your father. You're doing all that stuff, but you don't love me. So it doesn't make a difference. It is by renewing of his Holy Spirit that he begats you. He begats you when you submit yourself to him. To be begotten. He renews the Ruach HaKodesh. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Because this is what we receive when we receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not when you say you got it. Not when you say it's okay. The power, you got to receive this power. You have to have the Ruach HaKodesh to come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That power comes from the Ruach HaKodesh. So we can have a desire. And if you look at, the apostles, you look at their lives prior to receiving this power, they were all cowards. I mean, they might fight with a man like Peter, but still, when it really came down to it, and sticking with Messiah, and it came down to giving his life before this, Peter was like, I'm going to hang back and see what happened. All the others scattered. But I'm going to hang back. I'm going to see what happened to you. Okay. Totally different people after they received this power. Totally different people. And so we'll take a look, we'll do a comparison on that. Maybe I'll add that as a lesson to this newcomers. A comparison. Let's go and see, who did John the Baptist say would baptize with the Holy Spirit? John is the heralder. The king is coming. The king is coming. Make straight the path for the king. Go put on your best clothes. Put on your best behavior. Because the king is coming, and if you act a fool in front of the king, he might have you killed. John is the heralder. Okay. Announcing the arrival of Messiah. But he says something about Messiah that every Christian, every believer ought to pick up on. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And preaching, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Who baptizes you with the Holy Ghost? Mashiach. If I don't go away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, cannot come. And I can't baptize you with him. While I'm in the world, he's in the world with me. But he's in me, the Spirit of the Most High. And I'm not releasing him to the world until I've completed what I came to do. So the one who baptizes you with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, is Messiah himself. And when we know who Messiah is, then he's baptizing us with his Spirit. Before Yeshua returned to heaven, what did he promise his disciples? Let's go to the book of John. What time we got? 10 after? Oh, we're cooking with gas. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. Let's get first start with verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So he promised that he would pray to the Father that another comforter would be sent. Now, who's supposed to be their comforter at that point? Mashiach himself. But when he said, I will send you another comforter, then it sounds like he's talking about a whole nother different entity, a whole other different being. But Elohim has to reveal to you by his Spirit that it's him. Everybody can't see that because everybody don't have his Spirit. And they don't have these things revealed to them because they don't have his Spirit. So they will see three different spirits. Somebody might even read this and say, oh, here, there's another comforter. So we got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is the comforter, and we got another comforter. He'll make it four. Okay. Drop down to verse 26. John 14 and 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which is whom the Father will send in my name. Now, again, this is a promise. Whether the Father sends him, whether Yeshua sends him, that you're going to get another comforter. And this comforter that is to come is the what? Holy Ghost. Well, we know that the Holy Ghost everywhere in Scripture speaks of the Most High. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. My Spirit. This comforter is the Spirit of the Most High. Again, if we don't study to show ourselves approved, we will have many different spirits here. It's just like somebody say the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb of Elohim, the governor, the counselor, the prince of peace, all these different titles. If they don't recognize them as titles, it will say that, oh, this is all these different people. But all those titles apply to one person, Messiah. And because of the way that the KJV is written, the way the Most High has had it written, then people, when they read these different titles concerning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they come up with different numbers of beings, not understanding that they are all the same being. These are different titles for the same being. Okay. John 14, 26. Let's go John 15, 26. Now, we read, well, let's go back to 14, 26 first. No. 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now let's go down to 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, which is the Holy Ghost, whom I will send unto you from the Father. He's wording it differently. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So in this verse, Mashiach saying, I will send it to you from the Father. But the other verse tells us that it comes from the Father. We know that he's sending the Comforter. And whether it comes from the position of Mashiach in a request, or if it comes from the position of the Father and saying that this is what I promise, it's the same being. What did Yeshua tell his disciples to do until they received the promise of the Holy Spirit? Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and let's get verse 49. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait, you in the city of Jerusalem until you shall be endued with power from on high. Wait until the promise of the Father. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Wait until I send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So he's telling them to wait. Sometimes people need to tarry, need to wait on the Holy Spirit, even to receive him. Because the Most High wants to know, do you seriously want to be filled by him? Do you really want him? Go and wait and sing to me. Read Psalms to me. Talk to me. Let me know how much you really want me. Wait. This is what the disciples were told to do. Sometimes we're told to do the same. Okay, when did the disciples receive the promise? Now, we've read this before, but let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to get verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as like fire, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled. There's, now, this is telling you, when this Spirit came upon them, and cloven tongues of fire set upon all of them, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, this is when they received the promise. They were at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, about 120 of them. And then the Spirit descends. Now, when we hear this, like the sounds of a rushing mighty wind, like a tornado or a hurricane or a strong wind, we're told in Ezekiel exactly what that sound is. That is the Most High's hoopty. That's his ride. When Ezekiel sees these angels and he sees them like a whirlwind and they're making this noise as of a rushing wind, like the sounds of many voices, many waters. This is the angels that the Most High rode upon. But the Most High didn't fill them with the angels. And you got some people teaching that doctrine. And they say, oh, and the Most High arrived on a flock of angels. And the angels started filling these people. And each angel gave each person a different language, trying to justify and taking the Most High out of it. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Most High. He said, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. He said, I will pour out a Spirit upon all flesh, or some spirits upon all flesh. He said, I will pour out of my Spirit, me, myself. So this is when they received that power, when they were filled by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Ghost. That's when they received their power. Why hadn't the disciples received the Holy Spirit earlier? Go to the book of John, chapter 7. The book of John, chapter 7. Get verses 38 and 39. And then we're going to get John, chapter 16, verse 17. Okay? John, chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. That's why his disciples didn't receive the Holy Spirit before then. Yeshua had not been glorified. And the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, had not yet been what? Given. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 15 through 17. All things that the Father has are mine. Messiah speaking. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. They didn't understand that the same Spirit that is within him, Mashiach, is the same Spirit that's coming back. It's the same Spirit that's dwelling with them right now. But it's the same Spirit that was going to be in them. It's like, what does he mean by that? This couldn't happen until he returned back. Until he returned, well, actually went into the heavens, because the truth of the matter is Messiah didn't exist outside of Elohim as a son until he came into the world. So he's going back to take a place, or going to take a place that was assigned to the position of son from before the foundations of the world. After Yeshua returned to heaven, what did he receive? The book of John, chapter 14, verse 16. John, chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He received, from the position of son, the ability to give out the Ruach HaKodesh. That's what he received. From the position of son. That's when that was assigned to the position of the son. S-O-N. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being on the right hand of Elohim exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. He received the promise in the position of the Son. Most High says, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. But this is being done from the position of Son, the Son of Redemption, so that he can offer a complete and perfect salvation in that one office, Son. How did those on the day of Pentecost know that Elohim had poured out the Holy Spirit? How did they know? Let's get Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's how they knew. Verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Another miracle. Because the little brothers could all speak in Galilean, but what they heard was their own language. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Listen to my words. For though these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he shall come, and it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And it shall come to pass, my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of Yah come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. So, how did those on the day of Pentecost know? They started hearing these people being filled with the Spirit and prophesying. This was something reserved for the kings and for the prophets. But now I'm going to put it on my handmaidens. I'm going to put it on your sons and your daughters as a common man. I'm going to put it on the bond servants and the maid servants. They didn't used to do this stuff. That's how they knew. Who may receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit? Let's go to Luke chapter 11. The book of Luke chapter 11. Who may receive of the Holy Spirit? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This seems to be one of those big fortresses amongst a lot of people. They just want it to happen. And their belief won't allow them to even ask. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. I want your Spirit. Got to ask. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, Spirit of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Again, who can receive it? Those that ask him. Anybody that asks and they're repentant, they've turned from their wicked ways. I want to be your child. Got to believe the scriptures first. Why would somebody be asking for something they don't believe in? Why would somebody be asking for something that they don't even understand? Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Who may receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last, they say, yeah, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Listen, I'm pouring out on every different type of person, your sons and your daughters, your young men, your old men. And we read where it says the maid servants, men servants as well. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom Elohim has given to them that obey him. Got a lot of people running around here talking about they filled with the Holy Spirit, but they ain't obeying the Most High. Who does he give it to? Those that obey him. Got a lot of people faking it. Just faking it. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Elohim abides on him. You know, we can never do away with this position of Son, because the Most High saved the world through the position of Son. Came down, was born into the world, born of a virgin, grew up without sin, and paid the price. But we can never discard the position of Son. Got to believe. Is the gift of the Spirit permanent or temporary? Do you lose it? That if Elohim walks away from you, you are no longer saved. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If we walk in obedience and we don't do anything to cause Elohim to leave us, he will be with us where? Until the end of the world. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of Elohim are without repentance. This verse is actually in here out of context. The Most High gives us gifts, and he didn't repent of what he gives us, but if we love him, we will keep his commandments. If we don't love him, then we won't keep his commandments. So I really should take this verse. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take it out of here now, because it's just kind of out of context. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now understand that the Holy Spirit is a seal upon you. The Most High is looking for his Spirit. And if you don't find his Spirit, he says you are none of his, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Most High fills you with his Spirit, seals you to himself. And this is the earnest money. You don't. He doesn't take that back. It's the way that's supposed to work. But then he says, I'm going to judge you according to your works. So how could we be evil having the Ruach HaKodesh? How would the Most High even seal us with his Ruach and he knows everything. He knows whether we're evil or not. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Elohim, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So when we receive the Ruach HaKodesh, we are supposed to be sealed and saved unto the day of redemption. But then we have to look at inheritance and how we lose our inheritance. So people go read those verses and say, hey, once saved, always saved. But we know that anytime somebody disobeyed the Most High, if there was sin, one person sinning in the camp of Israel, the Most High didn't stay in the camp. But he's talking about to those that love him and keep his commandments, the promises to you. You are sealed until the day of redemption because you love him and keep his commandments. These verses cannot be taken on their own as standalone verses. Okay, we have 36 after. I can go into another section here. Incidents caused by and the consequences of baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to stop here for this evening because I'm actually getting tired and I don't want to overstretch myself. Need to go and eat and lay down, rest, you know, rest my body. Allow the Most High to do his work that he's going to do. So let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you tonight. We thank you for showing us that it is you that we are receiving as the Ruach HaKodesh. Through Messiah, through the work that you did through Messiah, that you release your spirit into the world. And Father, that we can do nothing without your spirit. We don't belong to you without your spirit. And we must have you to have the power to do what it is that you would have us to do. And you promise to never leave us or forsake us as long as we love you. Father, we thank you this evening for your word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Tomorrow is atonement. Tomorrow is atonement. Should be taking off and afflicting yourselves, concentrating on the Most High. What could you have done better this year? In what ways have you offended him that you know you deserve to be punished for? Even if they're small things, and we don't want to, people don't want to consider just who the Most High is and what they should be doing in regards to reverencing him. So tomorrow is the atonement. He says that we should afflict ourselves, bring ourselves in right relationship with him. And I believe that truly means to understand that we are sinners and that we honestly deserve death. But he is a merciful and loving and kind God, and he will make atonement with us if we come before him with the right mind. So that is tomorrow, starting at sundown, wherever you're at, until the next day. May the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you, I truly do. But nobody can love you like the Most High Elohim loves you. Shalom, family.
Which 12